And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Henniker, New Hampshire. Still, we'll be leaving tomorrow night. We're going to go up north and take Taryn his RV. He's got it sold, and that was awesome that he let us use it. We needed it. And then we're going to take the Jeep and head over to Derek Slopey's and do some work up there and make a bunch of signs, We need a bunch to get us on our trip west. And then next week, hopefully they'll be done with the bus. Damn it. You know, and then we'll stop by, say, yo, what's up to Jay, get some final whatever we got to do, then back up to Derek's, do some finishing touches on the bus, and then by within a week, week and a half, we'll be in the Pacific Northwest. And on the way, they need bunch of signs. You know, one of the other things, you know, today, let me tell you what's going to be on the show today. In the first hour, we're going to have Mr. Jay Noon is going to spend some time with us. Good morning, Jay. Okay, wait. We got, this one. There it is.
Right. Morning, Ernie and everybody.
Hello. All right, in the second hour, we have Jim Lee. He's a climate viewer. I met Jim Lee at one of the original Red Pills. I'm not even sure they called it Red Pill at the time. One of the first ones that G. Edward Griffin did in Phoenix. And we helped promote that and such. And I was there and met a lot of great, really awesome speakers, and they just became, you know, regulars on the show over the years. And Jim Lee is a guy that the bottom line was he saw that all of these satellites that go up that we paid for, the telemetry, which is the information coming down from them, he's like, hey, man, I paid for that. I need to know the magnetosphere and the sun, whatever the hell, and the radiation of the weather of whatever, you know, give me. And they're like, damn it, I hate when people do that. So what happened, he's going, what if we had sensors on top of our homes and we're all connected to the internet and we get real live, real-time weather and what the hell are they spraying? You know, we could track everything. And I know that they, them, those are going, damn it, we don't want the people to know, you know, crap. But that would be good if we had everybody put stuff on their house for us. Like 5G or something. he's not doing well. He's a younger guy, and he's got, Graves' disease is what he has, Donna? Yeah, Graves' disease is an autoimmune disease that leads to a generalized overactivity of the entire thyroid gland. It is the most common cause of hyperthyroidism in the United States. It's named after Robert Graves, an Irish physician who described this form of hyperthyroidism about 150 years ago. Anyway, so the symptoms are, you know, he's got issues. So he's got all kinds of, you know, and I guess if you, you know, out the man too much, they give you something. You know, we're gonna talk about it. But so he's taking the time to come on and talk with us, and he's not very. I don't even know if he's even 40. You know, he's in his 40s at least. But it'll be interesting, you know, give us an update on what's going on with access to information, the weather. He's really up on a lot of the electromagnetic that's going in. One of the things that was interesting is he was part of Google Earth where they created forums and people were putting in things. On Google Earth, they had a bunch of stuff and people would add things, stipulated things. government approved, got the documents right here. The House representative voted for and they built and got all the HARP stuff, all these antennas, all this atmospheric manipulation and so on. And his thing was, is he goes, you know, we'll put that up on the map. And then people are like, wow, this is really existing. Yeah, man, here's the documents. Here's that. And Google goes, nah, we don't like that. We want to take that off. So he took it off of Google Earth. Well, then the forums went in the revolt. You know, wait. You guys are, like, censoring what, you know, this was all about and what it's for. And they go, you know what? We're censoring enough that we don't have a forum anymore. We're not doing this for you guys. You guys don't get to use it anymore. Damn it. You know, the people just keep doing stuff we don't want them to do. So that was what got my attention. And so he'll be on. In the third hour, we got Diane Douglas. Diane Douglas was Maricopa County Supervisor up until, I mean, not Maricopa, Arizona State Public Superintendent, so which is a statewide race that is an office. It's like, I don't know, third, fourth in succession to the governor or something. But it's a statewide office that is in charge of the public school system, the government public school system. And she was a conservative and went in right up. And they just said, you sit in your little desk and you just get your little salary and you get your little out of the way. And she'd go, whoa. No, I want to see the books on this. I got here to, you know, clean up some stuff. I need to know. They go, eh, not so much. Oh, really? So this was a contentious relationship, you know, with the system and the unions and everything and her from the beginning. Well, this COVID mask up children thing where she wrote a letter to the county board of supervisors, they're kind of keeping their little meeting secret. They don't want people coming in and, you know, complaining about what she's going. When my daughter-in-law sees this and sends it to Donna, when my daughter-in-law, when does she ever, you know, send us stuff or news or things? Every now and then. But when she does, boom, I'm on it, man. And she was a speaker at one of our vaccine education summits this last September. So like a year ago. God, man, that was a year ago. So she, Diane Douglas, it was amazing. As much controversy as Dr. Judy Mikovits had, it was as much or more in Arizona. Don't go to the vaccine education summit. Diane Douglas is speaking. I mean, you know, they just hammered on her in the press before she even talked. And I'm going, ooh, I want to talk to her now, you know. And now I know why. Because she was definitely one to do this stuff up against the machine, which is why she was elected by the people, which is why the unions and everybody wanted to get after her. Now, so she'll be on the third hour, and that will be entertaining. Give us an update on what's going on. Now, this is, Jay, you know, I mean, you're a busy guy here. You got winter's coming though. I saw my breath this morning.
Oh yeah.
You know, so how are you going to get ready for, you know, it's going to start snowing. You going to make it, you know, you know, it's not just you. It's like this whole community is centered around Jay. They're going, I know where the food is. I know where I get my truck fixed. I know where the lights are going to be, you know, on. And Jay. Well, that's another thing. You don't have a lot of backup power, man. Where's your solar? Where's biomass or whatever.
I got two solar panels. I got one that's out there in an electric fence charger. And I got another one in a camper. I don't have much for solar.
Yeah, we got to get you hooked up. You know, this is it. Well, I heard you talking about it. You know, there's something that.
Oh, so a friend of mine just upgraded their solar. Actually, you know them, Jody and Ian Underwood.
Yeah.
They have an off-grid
cabinet.
I need
to get a hold of Jody.
I'll give you
She had
number.
Those little Moulin LeBay pen things. It's kind of the end of a cartridge. It is awesome.
Yep.
And I'm going, you know, I need to buy in bulk because I know a bunch of people that would love
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
You know, so I was trying to, matter of fact, I was asking Donna last night for her number. She had it. I need her number before you go.
So one thing, if we can skip to something, I meant to tell you this the other day, and I might as well just tell you now on the radio. So a local woman, Rochelle Kelly, lives about 5 minutes from here. I talked to her on Saturday, and she was one of the moms that back in May, her and a couple other moms and some kids went to the Concord Park that they had.
It's the Concord Park. We're going into break, man. It's just a good one. We're on the edge of our seat when we come back. Jay, tell us, Rachel?
Rochelle.
Rochelle's story. Rochelle's story. I got to write down. Don't forget. Every get mad when we come back. We'll get right through. Rochelle's story. Jay New, we come back on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
The Who from Mongolia. Yeah, the guys have been, you know, sent us in a telegram and so on, and it's just the Mongolian man that's just, I mean, it's addicting. They got 40 million views of that one song.
And what's that song called?
I don't know. Wolf Totem. You know, if the lions come, we'll fight to the... It's just a battle, Mongolian kick-butt Genghis Khan thing.
There is so much great... music being produced by these, like, musicians. Like my brother, for example. You know, this freedom, we're not going to take it anymore. Yeah. You know, truth. Natalie Rise is another good one. I mean, just these great music.
You know, Donna and I, we have the Bluetooth thing. We'll get to...
Rochelle.
But, you know, Donna and I, we listen to music in here. We got, you know, she put some stuff up, and there was some... You know, she had some Pearl. I go, who is this? It's Pearl Jam. I mean, I heard of Pearl Jam. I've heard a couple of songs and everything. But it's the music now is so robotic. It's so manufactured. Did you know that it's manufactured like two guys in Europe that, you know, do this? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, two old guys in a smoky room, you know, deciding which music they're going to force feed
the masses. Oh, no. There is a couple of guys, they make all the hit songs.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
They just you know, put in a formula. Yep. AI has determined that, the beat of whatever the hell, and they, you know, get Taylor Swift to write some lyrics to it, and Katy Perry, and it's all the same crap.
So my brother, Josh Noon, does a song called The Same Three Chords, which is about simplistically repetitive music and simplistically repetitive same politicians, whether it's Republican or Democrat. It's called Same Three Chords, and the only way you can find this particular song is to YouTube search Josh Noon Porkfest 2012, and it's a 45-minute set that he does at Porkfest. The audio is really good. It was done by J.J. Schlesinger. I don't know if you remember him. J.J. Epic, he called himself on Free Talk Live. Great audio video guy. And there's really nothing on digital because, you know, there's no big money behind it. And you don't make money playing music. And my brother's a professional horseshoer. He shoes horses. So, but anyways, he does a song called Same Three Chords. And you've talked about this several times, you know, that it's manufactured. And it is. It's and when you said you heard Pearl Jam, what you heard on Pearl Jam years ago was more of the radio-friendly or what they would allow on radio. But all these – there's so many musicians out there that have these songs that are just played – on radio over and over again, but then they have other songs that are like really awesome, that are really meaningful and have something to them, but they never got any radio play.
This is I was never a Rush fan, but I had a lot of friends that were, and there were a lot of libertarians because the lyrics. Come to find out, the drummer was libertarian, and they had if you choose not to decide, you still made a choice, kind of thing, you know. And it has been so much more obvious to me how much Hollywood and the music industry and there has been taken over for a single purpose, to control the people's general public opinion.
Yes.
This is it's a thing. And what's happened when you see these, I remember there was it hit really hard when my kids were like junior high school. One of my sons, they had MySpace pages, and you would put up your favorite songs and different stuff up there. And he had, like, Korean drum beating and, you know, whatever, classical music. He used to not sleep much, you know, so I'd always, you know, have Tchaikovsky's Ninth Symphony. I mean, you know, pick out the instruments in there. That's a this, that's a that. You know, kind of just keep his mind going while he's reading the encyclopedia from A to Z. So I go, but I go, it starts with A, man. But the music that is out there and has a message and a beat, and a lot of it is different. That's why I'm such a Queen fan. It was so different. Every song that they did, it was like listening to Boston's great, but they're all pretty much the same, you know? But a lot of these great bands, you know, the Beatles were good about that. You listen to early song, late, man, it's totally different. and then they go off and do their own stuff. This is beaten out of us. It's like diversity in colleges. Look, we have a professor that's black, a professor that's gay, a professor that's transgender, but they all think the same thing. So they sit there and talk about their diversity. Diversity in what? You know, their superficial crap. This is, we have been so conned. That's what our third hour guest, we're going to talk a lot about that. But you want this is Rochelle story. While you were out getting, milk for your baby,
yep,
out there, frozen breast milk, and going kind of taking care of that, I pulled it up. And Donna, you putting that video up in the first hour?
I did. Yeah,
she's got it up there in the first hour of the archive. And it was a family went to the park.
Yep.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yep.
All right, go.
So Rochelle, I forget the other two ladies' names. I've met one of them and their kids. They went to this park that was had the tape around it, the caution tape, the COVID tape, because they were worried about COVID on the stuff in the park. So there was an interaction with the police. And I watched the video when it first came out. I forget all the details of it, but basically, you know, they're just, no, we're going to stay here. We're going to play. We're not leaving. What are you going to do about it? So what they did is a couple weeks ago, they put a warrant out for her arrest. And she's charged with two, I believe they're called Class A misdemeanors, which is right before a felony. Like, it's the step just below a felony this woman's charged with.
So it could have up to a year, at least 6 months in jail or something.
Up to a year on each charge. There's two charges, 2 years, and a $2,000 fine per charge. Now, she's talked to a so-called local libertarian lawyer, and there's really only, three guesses, and one of them is running for Senate, and she's not a lawyer anymore, and the other two guys, another guy's running for, actually, I guess it'd be four guesses, because two guys are running for county attorney in Hillsboro. That would be Dan Hines and Nick Sarwark, but she didn't talk to those guys. But the one lawyer she talked to is, I'm not going to say his name, but he calls himself a porcupine attorney, libertarian attorney.
He's going to walk her through and the process and hold her hand while they...
No. He's like, well, yeah, we'll plead it down. We'll see if we can get it pleaded down. He's just not really interested. He'd be a better guy for, like, the lawsuit. Like, he's been pretty successful with suing cops, not really defending cases. So because I got just, a lot of spare time, I volunteered to help her out the other day. And what we're going to do is...
You got a lot of spare time?
I got all this spare time.
You're so full of crap. What? Do you say that seriously?
No, I'm kidding. It's just because... Because, my wife's like, you got the time to do that. But anyways, so Rochelle's, I don't think she's ever had a traffic ticket, this woman. She's got six kids. Her husband's a plumber. She's a full-time stay-at-home mom. They homeschool half the kids. And she's got to go to court October 19th, and she's facing 2 years in prison for essentially going to the park with her kids.
2 years in prison going to the park. We'll probably get right back to it when we come back.
Yeah, we'll get right back to it.
Right back to it. We'll get it finished. You guys hang out, man. It's going to be a good day. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Matt White, over in Virginia, Vermont, sent a picture. Freedom's the Answer wants to question. Love Bus Liberty Tour. They're making a bunch of these signs. We left some stencils in the farmers painting signs at night after working all day in the corn harvest. People in Vermont, that's me at the end of the right, is Matt. Special election in Virgins, Vermont today will keep you all posted. When it is done, we are going full court press on this collectivist nonsense. There will be lots of opportunity to participate in leveraging our little city into a national example of leave me alone. Think free state project in a one square mile city. Counting on all you great people to send me your ideas. When the election is over, we'll be attacked by the Vermont establishment globalists. They will not want out example to stand out right now between Burlington and Middlebury, the two globalist strongholds directed by David Rockefeller's daughter. They will not like it one bit, and we will hit their radar in a big way. This is where we went last week and on our way back here from Michigan, and they had a meeting, and bottom line was the mayor and two or three of the city council resigned.
Right.
So they had to do a special election.
I watched one of those Zoom meetings that Matt White sent me. I actually listened to it like four times while I was working so I could hear everything.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, no, this is, they're right in the middle of they, them, those, their summer homes right there.
Right.
And they're just wanting to, they rule, but it's a square mile, the actual city. And what we're following with one of the city councilmen there, David, I think, right?
I heard your interview with him last week.
Yeah, and he's, townie. They grew, yep. Him and Matt grew up together there, and they're just, man, they can see what's happening.
Sure.
And he left for a few years ago to Hawaii after a divorce, came back, and in the time that he was gone, they did a bunch of this agenda grant of low income, how ripping off money and you owe it forever and always, and this is how your taxpayers become our slaves. You know, I was like, what? And I'm going, man, I'm telling you, this is happening everywhere. Well, it manifests itself in this, we control and rule you like they were doing at the park. All right, mm-hmm. So go ahead and finish.
So I talked to Rochelle on Saturday. So October 19th, she's got a court hearing in Concord, New Hampshire. And I would so this is all because of the Cornholio, COVIDs, whatever, coronavirus. I mean, the cold, 2019. nonsense. So I really want to see this get pushed right to a jury trial. We're going to exercise some jury nullification because we could do that here in New Hampshire. We're going to push that hard. And,
explain that to the people. Fully informed jury is that the jury has the right to judge the law and its application, not just whether you broke the law or not.
Right. So not only
but
is...
how do they do that? How do they manifest it in the courtroom? Do you get to bring it up or something?
Absolutely. So here in New Hampshire, it is law because of the... because of Free State Project participants within the legislature, introduced law into New Hampshire that the judge must inform, or you can have the judge as a defendant, you can have the judge inform the jury, and you can inform the jury as a defendant or your lawyer can inform the jury of their right to nullify the law, their right to
say not guilty for any reason.
Jury nullification, the right to vote of your conscience. Not only is the man or woman on trial, but the law itself is on trial. I mean, this is straight out of, words of John Jay, the first Supreme Court Justice of the United States, or one of the first.
See, the juries always have this right. You can always say not guilty. The thing is, in Arizona, we finally got an opinion by the Attorney General in the court. They go, yeah, while you have the power to do this, we don't have any obligation to tell you about it. And we can prevent you from telling us everybody.
In Massachusetts, I've been held in contempt. Any time I've ever been brought in for any kind of jury trial, I've put all this jury nullification, just filed it right into the court docket, because you got to tell the opposing party what you're going to do. So that's fine. And then they say, nope, you can't talk about this, blah, blah, blah. And I object. And I say, thank you for preserving my objection for the appeals case. And then what happens is shortly later, usually at the end of that hearing or the very beginning of the actual jury trial, they'll just dismiss it. I had a friend of mine actually came and passed out jury nullification paperwork to one of my jury trials in 2003 in Palmer, Massachusetts. And he passes everything out to the jurors. They're waiting there. The jurors are all waiting for the door to unlock, and then he just leaves. So another friend of mine who was in court like 2 weeks before this, and he tried to do a similar thing with his own jury trial, and I actually got all my jury nullification handbooks taken away from me because I was going to give them to the jurors, and they were like waiting for me or something. The FBI actually goes and arrests my buddy who was at work that morning because another friend of mine passed this stuff out, and they arrested a different guy that afternoon for the jury nullification stuff, and they ended up disqualifying the entire jury pool that morning because they were tainted And
with truth.
With truth, yep. So the next time you go into Palmer District Court on a jury time, a jury day, they won't let you bring in the citizens' rule books, those little citizens' rule book things we used to pass out. So anyways, back to Rochelle Kelly. So I want to help Rochelle with this from, like, the common law sort of way. Who is the city of Concord? Is it a government? And if it is a government, prove it's a government, in Article 4, Section 4, Republican form of government, that is there to only, the only power of government, according to our Constitution, is to protect the life, liberty, and property of the individual. So once we establish that the city of Concord is a government that protects life, liberty, and property of the individuals, who's a man or woman that has a claim against Rochelle is where we're going to go. Or is the city of Concord a municipal corporation? And if it is, please prove it is, which is pretty easy to do. It says it right in our own town charter, the city charter. And then where's the instrument that Rochelle signed that says that she's going to be subject to these, you know, whatever they're charging her with? And we're going to throw a little Mark Stevens in this. I really like to use the first thing I like to do is who's the injured party, get that out of the way. And then once they say, oh, there's no injured party, this, that, the other thing, we do a motion to dismiss, we object. Basically, the way you have to go to trial, you have to go to court cases, is you have to, the very first step is challenging jurisdiction, and you have to set up your whole jurisdictional challenge for appeal. And then once we get it on the record that, well, there's no injured party, there's no living man or woman that has filed a claim, now we have that whole appeal basically all set and ready to go once we've
passed that. So this is set for appeal. They're just going, yeah, blah, 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 we're going
to
appeal.
Well, we will set it for appeal. There's no appeal yet, but we are going to set it.
No, I understand. It's like you're setting it up for to argue the point you want.
But we're going to set it up for like 25 different appeals. The next thing is going to be, well, where's a contract that binds me to, you know, what evidence do you have, the New Hampshire Code, the New Hampshire Constitution, or the City of Concord, whatever statutes apply to me, you know, the Mark Stevens.
Dismissed, thing. Make it go away.
So, and then if it does actually go any further, I mean, this is all because of COVID-19. And I think that what I would really like to start getting people thinking about right now is maybe how do we get Dr. Judy to come to New Hampshire and testify and basically blow
this apart.
Which is
what she does, and she will do it. What happened, she went to Arizona to testify before. There was a medical board, or it was some advisory supervision, we rule shiny badge meeting or something at the Capitol. And what it was whether marijuana and cannabis could be put on the schedule for benefit of autistic children or something. There was some benefit that she knew that they got from this. Yep. So she goes and testifies and says, you know, for this kind of damage, for this thing, that, you know, Nope. We got our 3x5 card from Big Pharma, said no. And the way they treated her, so, of course, she hit the press and our show and make a big deal out of it. But this is this kind of information. They do not want that, but it'd be a good opportunity for her to come.
Yeah, and where's the evidence the City of Concord has that there was even a pandemic? Where's the evidence, guys? What evidence? I mean, we're going to hammer these guys. You and I are going to go tomorrow and hammer them locally a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Well, we got to talk about meat, too.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of meat.
Freedom is the answer.
What's the question?
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Exposing the lies. Yeah, freedom's the answer. What's the question? You know, that's a popular, one of the more popular signs. You know, I put that in there because I, you know, because it needs to go in there, you know.
And that's my favorite. I put that right on my business card.
You know, everybody really, you know, Carla is using it.
Yep.
You know, for a campaign. You know, this is, and it's becoming, you know, I want that one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, wow, it's kind of wordy. You know, it's kind of like, all right, you know, cool. Because I say it so much, I get desensitized to, you know, how powerful it is. But the, it's becoming a thing. In the Telegram, they're going, hey, you know, you guys can make stencils for us, what we want. And the guy goes, well, I'm waiting on you now. Well, what do we need? We're going to get all overthinking. I go, look, man, just give me the text, the concept, and Derek and I will recreate it. You know, if we need Davi's help and some Martin to stencilize it or whatever. But Derek's, you know, really good at this stuff. You know, because he does, you know, 3D printing and laser cutting and whatever. He can do whatever file he wants.
If Derek could, like, word up the
Well, he's like you, man. He's so busy. Everybody's got another thing.
This is why I'm saying, like Silver Dave's got me welding these Target things. So what he does, you know, like, I ain't got time to, like, do a bunch of stuff. So he takes them and he sets up all these Target things perfectly, so all I got to do is turn the welder on and walk over and weld them.
You know, I showed him how to weld.
Oh, that was you, thank you.
You know, I go, yeah, you can do this, man.
And, well, so he gets them all set up, and so anyways, if this format for, like, making, because Derek's got the laser and a router thing for cutting all this stuff out, if there was a simple format that's, because half these guys that are on Telegram, like, understand, you know, enough about, you know, like, the formats and things and how to set things up, that if, because I just send Derek a text message of, hey, it's not about compliance, it's about safety with a mask in the middle. Well, he's still got to do a couple hours of, like, designing all that and making that happen. If somebody could, like, if he could just plug it into his machine and go, and that information
is
there.
It's not that hard. A lot of times I think he may prefer to do it because what he gets is jacked up, you know.
All right.
And he was just whipping them out. He's the one that came up with that, you know, let me see your smile with Katharine Hepburn. I turned around and boom, there it was. He had the other one, Mask Make Me Feel Alone, and he had that kind of that serious look where, you know, let me see your smile. I go, that doesn't really go with that one. You know, that went on the other one. But he found the Katharine Hepburn thing. Well, awesome. You know, so it's just a collaborate. You just kind of, you know, play with it and so on. If we need something complex or whatever, you know, we got Davi that can, you know, get all funky and, like, did Gunchurch logo for Dave, which he's embraced. He likes the new one now. You know, he's got signs everywhere. And we got skills, but Don and I are going up there to, you know, take some weight off of him, like we try and do you. You know, we kind of fix something or do something.
Oh, man, you really helped me out a lot this summer.
You know, so I – but in exchange.
Whatever, we get it done.
We get some stuff done. So this is what we'll try and do, and that's why we got to get up to Derek. We got to get up there. We got to make a bunch more signs to last us across the country.
Right.
And, you know, stock up the bus and man every freaking exit, whatever kind. We got to be buttheads. Mm-hmm. And then – also the stencils, because, you know, once we did that first batch, they were like, yeah, let's go, let's see. Derek says, I don't have the font to fix the first responder sign. Can we send that back to Davi to have him change that to who? Yeah, okay. I don't know what the font was. Anyway, we'll get it fixed. Because that on that say, well, that's grammatically incorrect. It's who say,
right.
You know?
Right.
And some people, I'm like, you know,
yeah, I know.
You know. But, you want to, you know, make
meat.
Scott happy.
Meat. I got meat.
meat.
I got pork.
All right. Tell them you got pork story.
So I just got, you know, I told all my friends 6 months ago, you know, 7 months ago my daughter was born. Get some food. It's going to be a food thing. Get some food. Food shortages. You know, they're euthanizing thousands of hogs. They're killing, you know, my stepfather's like, oh, they're giving us free fat cows out in Colorado if we just show up there and pick them up, because once those cows get too big, they don't stop growing. You got to still feed them. The big commercial slaughterhouses can't use them because everything they have is streamlined to a specific size, you know, cow, pig, whatever. And then, you know, even with 2 million chickens and all these early things, you know, listen to the Ice Age farmer. He does a really good job. He'd be a good guest for you to have on.
Don's on it, Ice Age Farmer.
So what I did is I bought, you know, 250 some odd piglets, and I sold a whole bunch of them. And then we bought basically 35 or 40, you know, market hogs that we finished and butchered. So now I got freezers full of pork, and a lot of my friends have got freezers full of meat. I'm like, hey guys, I got pork to sell. They're like, oh, you told us to buy. You know, it was still snowing out, and I filled my freezers up, and, you know, I stocked up. So I got, and actually we sent another 10 hogs to the slaughterhouse this morning that were up at Bardo Farm. And so I teamed up with Bardo Farm here in New Hampshire to, you know, make sure we're not going to starve. Now the electric bill was $600 last month for all the freezers, and well, it's not only freezers, you know, other stuff going on, people running air conditioners and welding and plasma cutter, but still a lot of money. And so I got frozen meat to sell. I got all the pork cuts. If anybody's interested in, you know, buying like a half pig or a whole pig, or they just want to buy pork chops and some hams, or I got all kinds of sausage, Cajun sausage, Italian sausage. It's linked. I got sausage that's just ground. And now I'm about the same price as the grocery store. See, a year ago on meat that we were raising, we were, you know, almost double the price of the grocery store, and people were a little turned off. Now our prices are, the local grocery store here, for example, they're baking $10 a pound, and I'm selling mine for $12 a pound. You know, their pork chops and stuff are, you know, I've been selling pork chops for $8 a pound, and they're like $7.50 a pound in the grocery store for Tyson pork chops. You know, the pigs that, you know, where they have 10,000 of them in a couple acre, you know, concrete floor tent barn, controlled atmosphere, feeding them, you know, all GMO grain and stuff. So these pigs here, you know, you see where they are. They're out in the woods. Ernie's been out there, you know.
Yeah, you want to get rid of a tree? Just put corn around it.
Yeah.
They're like beavers at the root.
Right. Yep. Yeah. We should do a little video, maybe Dave and I.
Yeah, time lapse. That'd be awesome.
And I went out there with a pipe, and I beat it in the ground around a stump. And so I made like these inch and a half holes with this pipe, and then I took the corn, and I just kind of dumped it in the holes. And I went out there. I didn't get out there for like 2 days to look at the particular stump, but it was a stump of a tree that was cut, and maybe like a 6-8 inch diameter stump, and it was a live tree I cut a few days before. And the stump's like, I found it, but it was like 10 foot over there. And there's like a crater in the ground where I dug, you know, I put like punch like
that is an awesome idea. I mean, to get that extra kernel, they'll freaking dig to China, man.
And they're eating the roots, they're eating the grubs, and then like the rotted stumps from the trees that were cut years ago.
Well, this is a Bob thing. He's always gone on about, you know, he's had pigs when he was growing up, because you want to clear a field, get some pigs. They'll push all the rocks to the side, the wood, the dead. Man, I'm sitting here watching these things. I go, what the hell you need a tractor for, man? You just need some pigs.
Right.
You know, some grain, and they'll go after it. This is, well, you got a bunch of these pigs because you knew this was going to be a food thing.
Yes.
And then it's like, you know, they were piglets, and now they're not piglets anymore.
Right.
And, you know, we got some meat. Yep. Where's the meat, you know?
And all the meat that I have is we had it processed at a USDA slaughterhouse. So it's all really nice, flash freeze, frozen, and vacuum sealed bags. And you know, you guys got some pork chops out of there the other day, and it's a nice setup that they do.
So how is it your market? I mean, I know when you went up to Pork Fest, you just sold out. You know, I mean, it's you go.
Yeah, I sold all I could. You know, I cooked everything and sold it, and I've just been marketing it mostly to friends.
Why are you allowed to put it on like Facebook Marketplace or some crap like that?
I guess I don't even want to use Facebook. I really hate Facebook, and everybody wants to send you, you know, a message that says, "Is it still available?" You know, I don't know if you ever looked at Facebook Marketplace.
I Facebooked you. You go, that was your first problem,
right? So, if you want to get a hold of me, get creative. Look on Telegram. Ask somebody on Telegram if they think you're not a troll. If they think you're not James Whittakine, they'll probably give you my phone number.
Noone. You know, you go there, that they will not be starving in the free state. You know, this is one thing it's gotten to the point, the slaughter dates, you can't even get them slaughtered until like middle of next year.
They're not even taking any more dates.
2022. Yeah, wow.
Yep.
You guys need your own slaughter thing, man.
We're working on it.
Working on it. Jay, in a light, in an ocean of darkness, they're going to be okay. We're going to keep you up to date on them. Jay Noone. Hey, we'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember.
I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Show Jim Lee's coming on in just a second. Diane Douglas, you know, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, she gave him what for. She was superintendent of public instruction, and she can see this mask thing, all this. No. The people are rallying up. The press, the pushback is going to hopefully hit in this election cycle. We'll be talking about that in the next hour. This hour, Jim Lee. Jim Lee is a forever Boy Scout, lifetime artist, nocturnal programmer. Music is his life. Love is his religion. And he's the luckiest husband and father on earth, you know, and he speaks for the trees. He has a passion for mapping, magnets, and mysteries. You know, the one thing that we're going to be talking about is the mapping. You know, as I remember, it was, we met him at a G. Edward Griffin event in Phoenix years ago. God, that's been 5-6 years ago. And I thought he was fascinating. You know, he came in, he's going, look, you know, Google Earth, the mapping technology there is a forums that has all this information that we can put on there and make available to everybody. It's stipulated. It's in, you know, the record, the Federal Register, the legislation, the law, the appropriations. We know they got it. There's the picture. Nope. Google said, nope, not allowed. Nope. No, we changed our mind. You're not allowed to do it. And then the telemetry from satellites. We paid for them. How come we don't get to have access to that? Oh, you want weather? You want real-time mapping and know what the heck they're spraying? We just put a bunch of sensors point up on houses across the country, and we got real lifetime, and we know what's up. And they're going, no, I think we'll decline. So it's just, he has a site called climateviewer.com or .org. I'm sorry?
Both. Climateviewer.org is my map, and climateviewer.com is my blog, Climate Viewer News. And it's actually the launching pad to all three of my websites, the third being weathermodificationhistory.com.
Weathermodificationhistory.com. See, I'm telling you, I've been fascinated. I remember our last conversations. I talked to some friends I was going to have you on. They go, yeah, I remember that guy. He was like, they turned on 5G kind of whatever and starting fires with in California thing. And I'm going, okay, yeah, they were listening. You know, they remember something going on about that. Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. There was, you were warning that you could track from space. You can see where these fires are starting and so on. And it overlapped with some testing they were doing and the aluminum anti-fire in the shingles of causing the arcing of something. What was that about? Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah, so at the time, a lot of people were showing this, you know, photos. At least one major photo that came out of it was a tree burning from the inside. And one of the things that people don't realize is that aluminum is obviously absorbed in through the roots of a tree and then deposited on the inside. So it's one of those cases where poor forestry management combined with pollution, especially from planes, putting, you know, billions of tons of nanoparticle aluminum into the sky every single year, except this year, that, you know, all of that stuff, you know, bioaccumulates and that it can be absorbed into the trees. And that's one of the reasons why you might see things like trees burning from the inside out. Plus, bark is their natural fire protectant. So,
yeah, there's a lot of things. So this is, you know, everything that's going on now, and certainly with this COVID thing, I'm wondering, I wanted to have you on to get us updated on, you know, weather pattern, the fires, what you've been working on, the mapping that Google Earth have, where it is now, tell your story. You know, there's so many things that I'm sure we'll go into. But what do you think the people would be most interested in and what they need to know?
Well, you know, this whole COVID thing started, and back in March, I made a video called Coronavirus, Fear Porn, and Mass Hysteria. And, you know, I made my prediction. Of course, the naysayers, you know, flooded the comments. You're going to regret making this video when 2 million people die. And I said, much like climate change and global warming BS artists, they create computer models, and the models are only as good as the information you put into it. So back in March when I made the video, they were projecting that 2 million people would die. And I said, this is no different than global warming. It will fall way short of that, and I'm willing to bet probably closer to a normal flu season in deaths. And since then, about a month ago, the CDC actually came out and said 7,950 people actually died from COVID alone, and everybody else had complicating issues. So of the 150, what is it, almost 200,000 now, you know, alleged deaths from COVID-19, only 7,900, maybe let's say 8,500 now, have been from COVID alone. And then you've had numerous whistleblower doctors out there saying that I've been pressured to put COVID on the, you know, death certificate. So in my personal opinion, based on all the facts, of course this is an election year. If it bleeds, it leads. And the more scared you are, the more likely you are to give up your civil liberties. So we have created this scenario where technocrats, or the technological scientific elite who inform policy, are intentionally shutting down our country because they want to destroy the economy. As you know, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi clearly stated, the only way we're going to beat Trump is if the economy tanks. Coincidence? I think not. And then you combine that with, this is a grand test of socialism that we could lock people down.
What?
Socialism.
Yeah.
That we would impose martial law, pretty much. Stay in your home. Stay away from people. And we'll give you a check. In fact, we'll pay you more on unemployment than you were making while you were employed. I mean, it's universal basic income. You know, like all of the, you know, socialist Marxists have been talking about for quite some time. This is that slow creep towards communism, that Brzezinski was talking about. And I see it happening in real time. It's just that most people are so ill-informed about history, let alone the nefarious, you know, tactics used to, you know, propagandize the public and scare them into submission. This happened in 9/11, 2001, and the Patriot Act, and we gave up so much, and here we are again. Very little pushback. Of course, there have been some, you know, vocal critics, but, you know, everybody's just succumbing to this idea that wearing a cloth mask, or even the N95 masks, that they could possibly stop a virus that's, you know, probably a nanometer wide. If the virus is as deadly as they say, none of these masks will help at all. They can easily pass through, you know, any of these materials. And if you had a mask that could block viruses, you wouldn't be able to breathe. And I barely breathe in the one I have, and I have a PM 2.5. A particular manner.
You know what I got? I got a nothing. They can suck it. We'll be right back. Mr. Lee, you gonna explain it to us. Get us some science. Man, where you record this? Now, we're going to find out when we come back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Ernest Hancock and Jim Lee. Now, the website is climateviewer.com and climateviewer.org. Now, .org is where the maps are, right?
That is correct.
Okay. These are great tools for grandkids. You know, send this to, you know, Lauren, Rhea, and Sarah, and everybody, Veronica, because this is, I remember I used to go there quite a bit, and I just kind of dropped off. And I'm looking at it again. I go, man, there's some new goodies here. Tell us what kind of maps you do and what you got here.
Well, it ranges everything. There's you know, three main categories: alerts and weather, satellite images, and history and science. So everything in the first two categories, alerts and weather and satellite images, all of those links are live. They're pulled directly from government and college, universities, when you click them. So if you go to satellite images, I have everything from the European Union satellites, EU METSAT, the GOES satellites, NASA's satellite system, and even the SIMS MIMIC satellite system, which is, you know, infrared. You got alerts with air quality, earthquakes, fires and volcanoes, hurricanes and tropical storms, lightning, rain and snow, watches and warning, and wind. All of that is pulled in real time. So as you click air quality index current, it'll actually pop up, you know, all over the map, and you can see, like, say, in Carson City right now, the air quality for particulate matter 2.5 is unhealthy at 157. If you're looking at flood conditions, you can look at where the rain is, what the river levels are currently. I typically use this in combination with the hurricane tracker so that I can see a hurricane coming in. I can see where the rain is falling, how much is falling, how much lightning is associated with that, and what the flood stages for each level, for each river, is all at the same time. So the idea is to have multiple layers of data and see how they correlate. You can't do this on any other map on the planet. And then finally, I have a history and science section, which has maps that are created by myself and George Stiller, a good friend of mine. And we have everything from abandoned sunken ships, ancient ruins, architecture, atmospheric sensors and EMF sites like HARP, you know, you name it, it's on there, missile defense radars, conquerors and wars, disease outbreaks, energy and pollution, explorers, fossil sites, geoengineering and weather modification projects worldwide, geoscience and oceanography, government, where I have the world's only NSA Five Eyes spy facility map with the undersea cables. Yeah, I was actually interviewed by the NSA on my beach vacation by the pool. Over that map, and a lot of other things like migration, where you can see the Oregon, California, and Mormon Trail all in one map. So they're very unique educational maps on there. And in addition to that, this is all on climateviewer.com/3D. It's an all-inclusive app that has all of the maps, or you can view the maps individually on different pages. I have a Earth Monitor link, which actually has every external website that, you know, I use regularly, so that you can go check those out as well.
Okay, now let's talk about that, because I remember there was Google Earth had forums to where this kind of layering was being done by a lot of people that saw this as a powerful tool that they could use to mark these kinds of things and make it part of our reference documentation for everything.
Yep.
And
it
they didn't
the
like
GEC, the Google Earth community.
Okay, now this, what you're doing, are you using Google Earth? What's the software that you have that I'm sitting here 3D going in, zooming, you put on a click
about? The beautiful thing about this is open source. And you know that you and me, we both love open source software.
Yeah.
So this is called Cesium.js. As in JavaScript, Cesium, just like the radioactive material, JS.org. And Cesium runs on WebGL. Originally, if people wanted to view the material, they had to go and download the Google Earth plugin from Google. And I had a lot of users that just were like, F Google, I'm not doing that. So I was always looking for an alternative, and I prefer 3D because I'm a 3D graphics designer. I've designed video games, 3D for film and stuff like that. And I love, being able to see it on a globe. For you flat earthers out there, I have a flat earth mode on this map as well. You can actually click options and instructions and click flat earth, and it will actually flatten it out like a pancake, and you can be happy and blissful and not feel offended by the roundness of this.
Oh, man. All right. Now, this is very interesting, the story. Now, when this started, tell the people, I found this fascinating. When Google Earth and the forums first started, tell the forums' excitement about what was going on and then what they did, and you're not allowed and because they're Google. So tell that story, will you please, in a few minutes?
Yeah, so I created a couple maps, and they were cool with it. They were like, all right, missile defense radars. This definitely goes in the history section, science section, military section. And then I created a weather modification map. And oh no, the mods at Google went bat crap crazy, and they were very triggered over weather modification being in the title, despite me giving reference at every single dot. And I'm talking, this was a map with probably 1,300 dots on it of different weather modification projects around the world, and they moved my map from the science section in science and weather to the other sentient side, which was code word for the tinfoil hat forum. And we went to battle. And I mean, I was so offended. I, raised as much hell as I could on the forum. And, with mods and their super egos, you can never win. So I finally decided, This is a sticking point for me. I have never been in a fight I didn't win in my life. And this was not a physical fight, but it was a fight. And it was a fight to spread the truth. And this was back in 2010. And by 2012, I had written my own website for the first time to show my own Google Earth plugin with all my maps. And it was about a year or two later that Google decided, we're going to remove the Google Earth plugin completely. And now you can only get a 3D Google Earth in a website on Google's own website. You can still download the program for free, but you can't show it on a website. So that sent me into my search for what's the best alternative. And Cesium, by far, is the best 3D open source platform that is similar to Google Earth that allows me to do the things that I'm doing today.
When we come back, I want to make sure we understand how we can use this software inside and add your own layers. Or what to, maybe there's a community or a forum or a section or an email list of, oh, you need to know about these installations. We'll talk about it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, and Jim Lee, climateviewer.com, climateviewer.org. Now, this is enormous amount of work that goes into this to make this telemetry available and to be able to bypass all they, them, those, and this is how you get, and you got to go through us crap. He had to learn to code. Do his own job. Get out of my way. I'll take care of that. I'll do that myself. So at the bottom of each of these pages, you go to wherever, climateviewer.org, you go to the bottom, and there's a Patreon and a PayPal donate button. This is awesome. I'm like, go, get just out of just cause, do some donating on it, because once you start to use this stuff, you're starting to look at these reports, you're starting to look at the dozens of different maps that have, and the ability for you to download and share it, and you do it yourself. Oh, man, but to be able to do that, Jim, you've had to, bypass how you share links on, the internet and email and Facebook and all that. You can, go through some of that of what you've had to do to be able to people to share this information.
Well, I created a code system that basically, if you are in ClimateViewer 3D, and it's the, we have 660, I have 660 maps on ClimateViewer.org. Some of these maps took 3 to 4 months to create, just one, the stuff in the history and science section. Some of them took longer. But in order to share, say, all of the ionospheric heaters like HARP, with all of the weather modification projects, with the U.S. drought monitor, with, you know, the Köppen climate classification system, so that you can see weather modification occurs where drought is most likely and where fracking wells are. So you can combine this map together and see fracking wells, the drought, and weather modification projects all in the same location in the United States. And you click the share button, and you put your screen where you want it to, and it will share exactly what you see and all of the layers you have currently turned on. And it
creates
a long
URL. Okay, so they can go
interactive.
They can, you go interactive with what's shared, not just like a picture of a JPEG or something, right?
Right. People will be able to actually share the actual.
Can you pull away from your microphone a little bit? You're over-modulating just a little bit. I can control.
How about that?
Yeah, that's
a little better.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so this is, you have a map that you have all this information, and I'm building the layers of that. You know, I'm thinking this might have something to do with that, and the 5G and the fire of whatever, or, you know, the illness of such and such, and the, you know, COVID now mask mandate of the blah, 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 whatever the hell it is, data you stream you can get. And you create that, and then once you build that, you can share that with somebody. So you're not actually the one that does all, you just make the data available, and they can assemble it any way they want.
Exactly.
That's awesome. I mean, I don't use awesome a lot. That's awesome. This is, you know, one of the things I remember we talked about, you were saying that, you know, you really want to know what's going on. You could just have telemetry coming from sensors that are on everybody's roof, and it just go into this, and we'll just know live what's what. You know, tell me about that.
So the whole idea behind the word climate viewer is that we would have our own local climate viewer in our backyard. This is my long-term goal, is that, for example, during Fukushima, we had a worldwide dispersal of nuclear material, and the networks that were supposed to protect us and warn us, like US EPA's RadNet.
Yeah, they turned them off.
And the Canadian, they turned them off. So what good is it if what good is it if you can't actually use that material, or if the government has control over it and can censor it or just shut it down? So we need a citizen-powered network of sensors to guarantee our safety. And I particularly am pushing this towards weather modification and weather warfare accountability. I call it the Environmental Modification Accountability Act. You can find that at climateviewer.com/NMOD, E-N-M-O-D, climateviewer.com/NMOD. The idea being that in 1978, after Operation Popeye doing weather warfare in Vietnam, the world passed a worldwide ban on weather warfare. They just never created a way for somebody to be caught in the act. So what I'm proposing is a citizen-powered network of sensors that you can have in your backyard that has a camera that's 360-degree camera. It's called an all-sky camera that shows the clouds over your house, that measures temperature, barometric pressure, all that normal weather stuff. But most importantly, it tracks radiation, be it nuclear or electromagnetic. So it shows this spectrum of information coming, you know, electromagnetic energy coming in, whether it's ELF, high frequency, whatever. And most importantly, we have a rain sampler with spectrometry on it. So you have a tube. You have a tube that actually collects water, and then it tells you what chemicals are in that water. Now, this would be useless if it wasn't streamed live to the internet, and that's why I built Climate Viewer 3D, so that once we start rolling these sensors out, that just like the air quality map, we would be able to show, you know, your climate quality at your location.
Yeah, coming from the people and not the agency of the BS me.
Right, right. So right now I'm pulling all of this stuff from everything from, you know, NOAA to the CIA, literally. I would like to be pulling this in addition from actual users similar to Weather Underground, not the terrorist organization, the website Wonder Map. They have weather sensors that they put out that they rely on, that people use. I would like to take it a step further and also measure what's coming down in the rain. This is a great way to be able to verify whether somebody's dumping chemicals over your house. What chemicals are coming down in your rain? How organic is your garden? You're going to find out, you know, very soon after installing this.
Yeah, no, this is powerful information, and the technology that allows for this, of course, they, you know, use it against us. But, you know, you find little uses of your own. You get, they go, damn it. I didn't think they were going to, like free themselves with this kind of, oh, man, it's always a double-edged sword of technology in the hands of individuals, and they're going to out us, darn people. So this is just, I think it's fascinating. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, participating. We talked about this years ago, that the technology for this was really coming online. And now I'm sure that, you know, it's a iPhone plug-in sensor. We get nanomoments, you know, blood work on whatever the hell. It's not a big giant leap to think that, you know, a test tube full of rainwater is kind of, nah, we know what's in there. So how's the technology coming, the hardware for doing this?
Well, I do have one engineer who's interested. I have another guy from Germany who's already designed a test prototype. The main problem I'm having right now is that I want it to be interchangeable, similar to like a Nintendo, so that you could literally grab, you know, I want to add radiation monitoring to my, you know, climate viewer. So you just pop the hood on that thing, you snap it in place, and bam, now you've got additional information. That way we can make a, you know, a lower price model for a beginner, and then people can work their way up to adding all of the different features. So I want it to be modular. Obviously, all of this would be blockchain, you know, encrypted. There's going to have to be quality analysis on these. So these, all of these sensors would have to be, you know, tested by scientists to guarantee their accuracy.
Yeah, otherwise, no, we're going to go into break here real quick, but I want people on the edge of their seat for the question I'm going to ask you. You can answer when we come back. The opposition to everything that you're doing here would come from whom and why? This is enormously powerful. I mean, if you start training, we're going to learn about weather in third grade. And, you know, an 8-year-old has access to all this information and just starts playing, you know, with a mouse and freaking on their tablet of, oh, my God. They're not playing video games and doom and killing aliens anymore. They're actually interfacing and can participate with what's happening with their own community, weather. Conspiracy theories abound. I mean, you know, whatever. This is better than any video game. And I'm going, who is in opposition? And why? We'll find out when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Jim Lee. You know, write this down, man. Put it in your browser. Bookmark it. I don't say this a lot. This is great information. This is awesome, awesome. Every freaking school kid needs to know if they don't have it. Their teacher's being a slacker, a slacktivist. ClimateViewer.com and ClimateViewer.org. Now, you know, in this last segment, I wanted to make sure that you guys know that this exists. I want you to know that you can. This is a worthy cause to donate and patron and give. You need this stuff. This is the kind of stuff. This is the guy you need this stuff. And not only that you need it, but it will always be available because he's already gone through the battles and the fights of them trying to censor and you're not allowed and damn it, not that information. I mean, he's already gone through that process. He's using his own servers. He learned a JavaScript. You can download and do and share and made tiny URLs that bypasses censorship on Facebook and kind of, and you're like, damn it, they're penetrating the bureaucracy. So I'm going, okay. Why? Who do you think your opposition is, Jim?
Well, I attended the 21st 21st conference on planned and inadvertent weather modification in Austin, Texas, at the American Meteorological Society. And I interviewed the scientists that actually control the weather. And one of the things that the biggest aha moments I had was when I interviewed Raytheon. And I got them to admit on camera basically that they've created a software called AWIPS2, AWIPSII, AWIPS2. And basically this software is similar to Climate Viewer in that it takes all the different weather data information and compiles it into one thing that is basically used by every single National Weather Service forecasting. So when you watch your local weatherman, you're watching a censored version of the weather that came through a military, you know, defense contractor to the National Weather Service, to your local weather guy. So they're able to control all of the information you see on TV through a single program. And what I'm trying to do is eliminate that middleman, all of the middlemen, and go straight to the data and provide that to you. In addition to that, we create very unique maps that you cannot find anywhere else. One in particular, which was an extremely hard map to make, 50 years of the United Nations Tracking Weather Modification Projects, 1952 to 1999. And we actually got the weather modifications from the World Meteorological Organization's Weather Modification Expert Team and put all of that into the form of a map. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. A map is worth a couple million, because not only can you see this image, you can interact with it, you can see what's local to you, and then you can make your correlations with other maps. Like the example I gave earlier, if you bring up the fracking map, you're going to see approximately 880,000 fracking wells. You can bring up the U.S. Drought Monitor for today. It's live. And then you can bring up the weather modification projects. And what you'll realize is fracking uses billions of gallons of water, releases, you know, several million metric tons of methane into the sky every single day. But because it has such a high water use, that's why you're going to have a lot of drought in those locations. And in addition, the companies, the actual state of Nevada, and, you know, Sacramento Municipal Water District or Utility District, SMUD, Sacramento, people are paying taxes for Sacramento to actually modify the weather over, you know, over their county. So people need to understand, you know, where the money flows from, why they're doing it, why. I say don't blame climate change, blame the climate changers. And if you don't know who they are, how can you ever get to the truth? So that's the point of all this, is that to provide people with accurate sources of information, be able to see this stuff in real time. This isn't a COVID, you know, prediction model. This isn't a climate change prediction model that was set up to give a predetermined result. This is real-time data, in addition to accurate sources, static maps, that you can draw your own conclusions from, because you have a brain. I believe in, you know, Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of individuals can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has.
Yeah. You know, this is the information that you have. All right. I look at things, you know, regardless of what your opinion is of like Elon Musk or something, it just demonstrates what one guy can do. You know, a curious, young, smart, intelligent kind of give me the data and I can learn, and I get MIT lectures of everything for free on the internet. I mean, so there are, we have a project. If you go defendingarchimedes.com, and it just forwards to, you know, an education site on Freedom's Phoenix. The reason I got that, as I understood, there wasn't a special program these guys needed. It's just Lee Malone, give him a book and a internet access and, you know, a tablet and a freaking beanbag chair. You know, leave them alone. And this kind of access to information like you have of climateviewer.org is where an intelligent, genius little 8-year-old goes there and he goes, you know what I found out? I found out that where ant piles are and where they're doing in the harp and the weather kind of, and all of a sudden, and boom, I can predict the next earthquake. I mean, you know, it's just this is amazing having this information. You have no idea what it's going to be used for or how or what the variables are that are precursors to something happening big. It's amazing. And I'm going, this is what we need. Is this right? You don't have to predetermine it. You don't have to have a goal in mind other than the sharing of information. And for them, whatever they discover that they're able to share. And when you got close with a lot of this early on, when Google Earth first started and the forums happened, they just went, you push back, go, no, this is stipulated data that's in the law and the House approved and appropriations of God, and they got freaking blueprints, and you're saying we're not supposed to know? Screw you. And they're going, yeah, screw you, we shut down the forum. You're not allowed anymore.
We paid for this information, but they make it so hard that they're – maybe 1% of the planet has the programming skills to even be able to access this information. I had to be self-taught to learn how to program all this stuff. And it's constantly evolving, so I'm constantly updating it. One of the beauties of coronavirus is that a lot of people have opted for homeschooling. And I literally got an email from my partner in crime, George Stiller, 4 hours ago, and you got to hear this. I see that Amazon in Ashburn, Virginia, where it has a big storage facility, has been visiting Climate Viewer and appears to have crawled both the My Reading Maps page and the Tools for Learning specifically. They visit the homepage a lot, and I assume they are reading different category each time. I read an article somewhere that indicated Amazon was looking for sites with list for pandemic homeschooling. Evidently, they have visited several times a day and returned many times. So what do you know about them and how long they've been doing this? He's asking.
Okay, now wait a minute. Who was doing this? Who?
Amazon.
You're on the edge of something here that I knew when we first talked. I just thought this was awesome that you're going down this path. But it required you having to what? Self-teach yourself Java?
A lot. I mean, I didn't even know HTML or cascading style sheets, the actual way you make the, make it beautiful, user interface, user experience, JavaScript, a little bit of PHP for my proxy server so that I could actually get the information that's blocked from being viewed. I can actually download that to my server and then serve it to you. So it's a very complicated process. And what I'm actually doing now, for at least for the last year, is I'm combining all three of my websites into one. So climateviewer.org, weathermodificationhistory.com, the timeline, the history of weather modification, all of it will be available on climateviewer.com in one place. And the purpose of that is to be able to easily cross-reference all this stuff and not have people jumping from one website to another, because that hurts your Google traffic rating.
Nah,
and all of that.
Screw them. You got the 30 Hancock rating. The hell with them. All right, we're at the end of the show. Go ahead and real quick, give last minute information on where they should go.
Yeah, so everything can be found on climateviewer.com. On the actual main menu bar, you'll see timeline and map. That'll take you to weathermodification.com and climateviewer.org. All of my articles are there, my PayPal, my Patreon. I am going through surgery right now, pretty soon, to have my thyroid removed. So if you can support me on paypal.me/climateviewer, I greatly appreciate that. That's why I'm doing a lot of interviews right now, because I won't be able to speak for like a month or two probably.
Okay.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me,
but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here on Declare Your Independence, me here in Sandcock from Henniker, New Hampshire. But we're going back to Arizona for the holidays, and we're going to have to give them some love. Know what I mean? They did all this right after we left Arizona. They started getting all heavy. Oh, man. And then we went to Jackalope Freedom Festival, northeastern Arizona, and up in Overgaard up there by Heber. And we went up there. And there's this one restaurant that says, enter at your own risk. We're not wearing a mask. Get over it. Okay? And I'm like, oh, we're all going there. And we bought their cups. And it's, Judy's Cafe? Is that what it was, Donna? What does it say? June's Cafe. And it's, everybody got their cup. Because somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to, and it's always going to be some small town or something. But sometimes you have someone, a prominent individual that, in the political sphere that has come to the attention of peoples, and that's Diane Douglas. Now, she was Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, a statewide office in charge of the schools. And, just sit over there and, get your bennies and take your check and don't bother us. We're run by the union of, we got Black Lives Matter and the government matters and you don't matter. And I'm going, okay, well, she had a lot of controversy, and, of course, she spoke at our last vaccine education summit we did a year ago, where Dale Bigtree was there and Dr. Judy Mikovits and a bunch of other great presentations. Well, the first one was Diane. Now, what we got was the pushback on the press. They're going, oh, you're not having, oh, my God, you shouldn't go to that because Diane speaking. Stop thinking about boats. Everybody should stop thinking about boats. I'm just like, what? Just spell it right. I don't care. Bring it on. I understand. The reason is because she does things like this. She wrote a letter to Maricopa County Board of Supervisors and just give them what for. And that's how she came to our attention again. And I want Diane to tell me every little old thing about what's going on and the letter you wrote and the response and why. And welcome to the show, Diane Douglas. Tell us everything.
Ernie, thank you so much for having me on the show again. I really appreciate it. I've been watching this because what's going on here, in my opinion, in Arizona and across our country is horrible, especially with these masks. We all know that it's overblown. And I mentioned to Donna, I feel the same way about masks as I do about vaccines. If you want to wear a mask or you've had a vaccine and I don't want to wear a mask or I don't have a vaccine, if the masks and the vaccines work, then it shouldn't matter to you what I do. But it's just a manipulation process. So it's been going on with our Board of Supervisors. They passed what they call the mask regulation at the behest of the governor. He turned it over to the cities and the counties in the middle of June. And now it's the middle of September, and there's been meetings since. It came to my attention that there was going to be a meeting on Monday. And there's two separate issues.
Last Monday or this coming Monday?
This past Monday, yesterday.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And there's two separate issues, and I'll get into both of them. But when you look at the County Board of Supervisors meeting webpage and you look at their agenda, this is an executive session, and they aren't telling the community what it's about. Somehow, and I still haven't been able to track down exactly who or exactly how, and it's really irrelevant. Somebody somehow saw a copy of what they call their executive agenda. And on that agenda, it said that they were going to discuss two things, the mask regulation and election procedures. That's not what was posted on their website. all their website says is we're going to have an executive session regarding topics on the executive agenda, but we don't post the executive agenda to tell you what those topics are.
Okay, now wait. Let's define this. When they do an executive session, I thought that was like, that's personnel records of private attorney of we, it's, you know, and it's not for the public, and we're just going to privately, you know, do some internal stuff. But when it comes to that policy that's directed towards the people, that's open meeting law kind of thing, right?
Well, but herein lies the rub, and I have been talking about this rub since my Peoria school board days. Open meeting or executive session law, and I don't have it cited right here. Wait a second. Give me one second.
Yeah, it takes
I think, and I can tell you, it's Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.03A is the executive session. Well, A and B, I'm not sure if there's a C, are the executive session statute. And under the law, there are now 9 defined reasons in statute where a public body can meet it behind closed doors.
Did it start off with one, and then it was 5 and 7 and now 9? I mean, they keep adding to them or something?
I was surprised to see that. When I was on the board, it was 7. I don't know when they added 8 and 9, but...
But it was for us, because they love us, right?
Oh, of course. And the 2 they added were about school safety, and obviously you don't want to discuss safety protocols and procedures in public. That one made sense to me. I can't tell you what all the 9 are. 1 is personnel issues. If you're negotiating contract, if you're buying real estate, things like that, obviously that would jeopardize the transaction if you discussed it in public. Here is the huge rub that, in my opinion, our legislature must deal with. 38431.03A3 says they can go into executive session for legal advice. Well, in my opinion, and it's not clarified in the statute, the legal advice should be on one of the 8 other subjects.
Right. We need legal advice on how we're going to rule you.
We need legal advice on should we paint the school purple. You know, no, that needs to be a public discussion, exactly like this mandate, exactly like voting procedures. There should be nothing behind closed doors about those 2 issues. And yet boards do it all the time. Another fact, and the County Board of Supervisors also has this on their agenda, which needs to be addressed. They say, and this is just one of their generals, the board may vote to recess into an executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matter listed on their agenda. No, you have to tell people in advance you're going into executive session, and you need to tell them what it is you're going to discuss in executive session, and you must open that executive session from a public meeting. So yesterday... Of course, now under the governor's mandate, nobody's allowed into the county supervisors' meetings. They won't let you in the room. But they're supposedly videocasting them. Well, at 10 o'clock, I was on their website, and there was no way to go onto a videocast. As, you know, silly as it is, because you can't see the executive session, they at least should have broadcast them all coming around the table, or put them all on telephonically, however they did it, so that you can hear them say, I, Mr. Supervisor A, move that we go into executive session.
Yeah.
I, Mr. Supervisor B, second that motion, and that they vote on it.
All right, we're going into break. We got 4 minutes. We'll come back. Diane, we're going to see what happened yesterday, what's going to happen, and why they made all these changes. What's going to happen? What's Arizona going to do? What's the people? We'll find out.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, don't call that number, because we ain't there. We're out on the road doing getting what fur out here in the country. And I tell you, man, I'm making my way back to, I don't think I know. I know, and bring it with me. We go back to Arizona. Arizona. Diane will hook us up with, you know, whatever we got to do to get something done. Man, it's a sign everywhere, a sign, because they can't stop that. Well, Diane wrote a letter, and then she sent it to all the supervisors, sent it to a bunch of different, you know, lists that she's on, and Facebook, this and that, and conservatives, and, you know, Save America. And then it got published by a newspaper in Tucson. That's how it made it to my daughter-in-law, and she, you know, made it to our attention. I go, oh, I know, Diane, tell us everything. Diane Douglas. All right. So they had the meeting yesterday, and nobody knows what happened. They're not allowed?
That is exactly correct. From what I understand, and this is rumor, speculation, and innuendo, well, it's not quite, because I did actually contact my supervisor and ask, did the meeting occur? But you can't tell from their website. Executive sessions almost always must be opened from a public meeting. And since the governor has forbid public meetings, basically, and the county board of supervisors says, well, we're not letting any of the public into our general meeting rooms. They should be broadcasting it over video, but I was there. I was on at 10 o'clock, and I couldn't find any broadcast, even to see the vote to go into executive session, which then becomes private. So there's no mention on the website. There's no minutes. There's no summary, as they usually put on. So, you know, who knows what happened. But I asked my supervisor. He said, yes, the meeting did occur. Rumor now has it. I think it was some kind of media report that it was a two-hour meeting, ostensibly about the mask mandate and about voting procedures, but we don't know that because they haven't publicly disclosed that in any way. So at this point, it's a speculation, and it has to be under the guise of talking about executive session. Number three they talk about is for quote-unquote legal advice. So basically, that's a get-out-of-jail-free card that the legislature has given public bodies, because they can say they need legal advice about anything and then take it behind closed doors. And that's not the intent of the law. The intent of the law is supposed to be very narrow, except apparently when I was on school board, there were seven reasons you could go in. Now there's nine, so they keep expanding the super-secret discussions that public bodies can have. And I find that offensive, you know.
Especially now, they go, "Oh, it's a, you know, it's a special circumstances." Yeah, well, the special circumstances when you really need it.
Well, and the thing is, if you think about it, the legal advice is really: do we have the authority to put in a mask mandate like this? And unfortunately, apparently, yes, under the statutes our legislature has passed, they do have the legal authority to do this. Beyond that, what legal advice do they really need? There is no reason, in my opinion, having served on numerous public boards, that a topic like that should not have been discussed publicly. It absolutely should have been, as should voting procedures. Everybody's entitled to know.
I'm looking at the reasons for this. You know, what do you think? You're in conservative Republican politics there. You know what's up. You know the people. They know you. They know that you're going to, you know, press them on this and not go away. So they're doing this because why? What is the overall agenda? What are they trying to get? What payoff is there? How much is Ducey getting from, you know, the Fed? I mean, something. When we went through H1N1 with Brewer at the time, we were heavy on this in 09 on the, you know, this vaccine thing. We knew this was going to be their modus operandi. And as we went through challenging a lot of this stuff, there was another agenda. There was something else. It enacted power that went to the government and to the governor's office. And then we find out they get a slush fund of a gazillion dollars that, you know, that was their payoff. And I'm going, what's the payoff here? Anybody knows? They're tracking it down. What's their motivation?
One can only speculate at this point. I mean, certainly the government is well served by making people more complacent and compliant. I mean, that's been the goal of our government schools for 100 years. And that's why people are complying so readily with this face diaper mandate.
Shut up and believe. Shut up and believe. Well, what if you don't believe?
Absolutely.
What if you don't believe?
So there's a part of that. There's also talk of, and I don't know if it's from our county board of supervisors or not, but, you know, there's talk of the mask mandate won't go away until the vaccine comes into place. So how much money is that, like in the past, going to roll into the coffers? Oh, you can take your mask off. Just get this vaccine. And you and I both know they haven't, Big Pharma hasn't been able to make a safe vaccine that's been on the market for 40 or 50 years, but yet they're going to develop one in 6 months that isn't going to kill more people than the supposed virus does.
Oh, you know, we are so co-opted. You know, this is, what do you think is going to happen? What's your feel on this election other than, see, we've been covering Maricopa County elections, you know, from here because, you know, I know it. I mean, you know, this is what I did, election law. And I'm like, I can see what they're doing. This is going to be so jacked up. And Maricopa County is set up to do mail-in ballot election fraud of, oh, my God. And I'm, so what do you think is going to happen in this election cycle? How's it going to work out?
I wish I had a crystal ball to know, so I could prepare in so many other ways than that. You know, one of the things I found very interesting about this, all this COVID nonsense, is that if you look at the timing of it, I mean, it started kind of in Arizona here. It started with Ducey in the middle of March. Well, the middle of March, and then, it, you know, it really didn't explode. It looked like it was going to be 2 weeks. You were here then, so you know all of that. But if you look at the timing, it really blew up in a way that challengers, conservative challengers, couldn't get on the ballot to challenge the status quo. Where we have Republicans are pretty much the same Republicans we've had, the same Republicans who are sitting on their hands rather than calling a special session to put an end to this as best they possibly can. And there's no, so even if we get, and I would still take a Republican over the crazy, I mean, the Democrats are really going insane with themselves, but we didn't, there were no choices to challenge. I'm not sure if any of the County Board of Supervisors, if any of them are being challenged, maybe one or two, I don't know. I'm not following the other races. I think in my supervisory district, there's only a write-in candidate on the ballot.
They need, you know, I hate looking at politics as a, you know, a solution to anything because it's just a side effect of just general public opinion. That's where I deal with. But a lot of the ways that I influence that would, you know, have a bunch of us running. You know, libertarians go out and we just, I got an argument. We're going to talk about something, but I can do that with signs everywhere. A sign. When we come back, we're going to talk to Diane. What would that slogan be? What kind of sign might we make as we go up to Bangor and we start pumping out a bunch of more laser cuts? If we got us a sign, what would that sign be before the election here in, there in Arizona, IA, where I have all my family.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Big giant leave me alonest. I'm just leave me alone. What are you, an anarchist? Like, compared to what? What we got now? I mean, I vote none or this? Oh, I raise my hand for none, man. You know, I'm a leave me alonest. You know, is there? Now, we talked to Jerry Griffin last week, and his big thing, man, you still got to have a protectorate. And that's what the Declaration of Independence was all. That's why this show is Declare Your Independence. Because what did it say? The only reason you create government is protection of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish it. Your right, your duty. Boom. Sign me up. That's the government I want. And then they did this Constitution thing. And that was kind of, I'm not a big Constitution fan of the Bill of Rights. So it's like you got Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights. It's like a bologna sandwich. You know, that is bologna in the middle. What happens when you have the legislative, executive, and judicial lined up against the rights of the individual? You find yourself in a free speech zone wearing a mask. That's what happens. And they go, and it's constitutional. And then we got, you know, replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Trump. I mean, are we living in interesting times, Diane, or what?
Oh, if that's what you call them, Ernie. I never thought I'd see a point in my life that it would get like this. And
never a doubt in my mind. but this is what we have to go through. That's what, you know, Freedom's Phoenix is all about. You know, Freedom's Phoenix from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. That was the concept. And I'm going, we have to go through this. The problem is, as we're going through it, there are paths. There's going to be, we rule you collectivist, you're our property path, and then you're an individual, gets to do whatever you want and peace out, and as long as you're not violating someone else's, you know, pursuit of happiness, and we're good. These are really the two paths that we have here, and everything that you're talking about, what Maricopa County supervisors are doing and so on, and how they bastardize the laws, and we got an attorney, and you're not allowed to know what we're doing, and, oh, yeah, by the way, you have to's, and you can't's. You know, when I go anywhere, I just want to know a couple of things. What do I got to do? What can't I do? And what's your conflict resolution? Well, they're demonstrating that they just want to rule the people. And I want to know, you know, the flavor and the mindset as you're involved in political politics there. You are a statewide elected official. You've been involved in the education system for years. You came up through the school board. You got, man, they didn't like it when you were there. You were actually wanting to look at the books. They're like, no, 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 no. So in the mindset that's going on in Arizona right now, where are we at? Where's the Republican Party? What's the difference? Who's in charge of what?
Well, and what's really interesting is we go through this election season, you know, to see the Republican Party, of which Governor Ducey is the head, and I've given up on him even being a rhino. That's too kind of a title for him, if you will. I mean, the Republican Party system is just worried about getting Republicans reelected, and rightfully so. It would be probably 10,000 times worse under the Democrats. They'd probably come and staple the masks to our face to make sure that we wear them. But they won't come out. I mean, they're not standing up, in my opinion, for the party platform and the principles of the party. Even, and these people aren't. I mean, going behind
closed doors. Republican Party's got principles? They do? When did that happen?
Well, we have a party platform, at least, and we have things that we claim are shared beliefs, but yet we see Republicans going right against them, this county board of supervisors literally taking our rights away behind closed doors. Every discussion they've had about it since June has been behind closed doors, that they don't tell us their thoughts or what they're going to impose upon us. But I want to switch gears for on you just a
Please.
Little bit here, Ernie, because the other part of my letter talked about what all this is doing to our children in school. What schools are open, what's going on in them is absolutely reprehensible. Children can't sit with their friends at lunch. They can't go and have a decent recess. Oh, good, so we'll put more of them on drugs because they can't sit still in the same classroom for 7 or 8 hours a day. In some cases, I've seen pictures, and I don't know if any districts have actually implemented this, where they have the children basically enclosed in little acrylic prison cells that surround their desks. I mean, what is this going to do? And they have to wear masks. So what is this going to do to our children and how they view their government's ability to take their rights away, imprison them? And that's what I think which is the bigger issue, the fact that our county board of supervisors is holding what are, in my opinion, illegal executive sessions, or the fact that they're using this to corrupt the beliefs of our children?
You know, the letter that was brought to our attention, my daughter-in-law, my son and her, they decided, and they're students of the planet and teacher pet of the year and all that kind of, they're the smartest kids because they weren't vaccinated. And they go through all, and they, the best kid, and they're not going to government schools anymore, not even the charter school. They went to legacy. You know, so they're, you know, this was a traditional kind of day. Charters, we're done. My oldest daughter, her two kids, she really was waiting for school to come back. Man, these kids grabbed me nuts. But, no, we're going to homeschool them, too. So there's six more Hancock kids that, you know, like we pulled our four children out when my oldest was in third grade. You know, I was going, no, I can see where this is going. Hell no. So this, what's the homeschooling answer been in Arizona? Is you get any kind of numbers? Do they have an idea?
We've heard, I've heard rumors, but it's rumors, speculation, and innuendo. Some of the school districts have done quote-unquote surveys and are hearing as much as 20% of their parents do not intend to send their children back to school, praise God.
Yeah.
Since leaving office and the beginning of this year, I joined an organization on their advisory board called Public School Exit. And that is our mission and our goal, is to hopefully be able to raise money to give kids scholarships to get out from under government schooling and to help parents find a way to homeschool or have the resources to private school.
So our right now, children we're benefited from Arizona School Choice Trust from when it first started in the mid-90s.
That's a tough question. I mean, there's... Yes and no. Maybe we're seeing some schools like Legacy. My daughter and son-in-law aren't there yet with my grandson. They have him in a charter school, but it's a basic, not basis, but a basic core curriculum charter school. Is he better off there than in traditional district schools? Absolutely, I believe so. But I think parents have to realize that God gives children to them, not to government bureaucracies. I mean, it makes me sad, and I'm not beating up any parents here, but they're willing to take a second job to buy a car, but they're not willing to take
Amen.
A second job to pay for their children's education.
Amen. Now, we live very modestly, poorly. We were, you know, the push start in the cars to be able to go to private, even with some aid of whatever. And our life is so much better now because of it. You know, we're not, you know, having to parent our grandchildren. We can be grandparents because our children were brought up to be parents and self-sustaining and add to society and not all this crap. And the fact that they recognize, now we see what mom and dad were talking about. Yeah, we're done. And then, they have more freedom to do a lot. You can't go on, stay extra Monday on the camping trip. You got to be at school. You can't go to this really cool thing and the monument of, or the history lesson of the factory tour, because you got to be at school. You got to, you screw all that and you can do all kinds of fun, cool stuff. My grandson is heavy. My granddaughter, it's 10, 11 now. She's big into writing. She likes to write, got plenty of time to do that. They do their home curriculum, takes them maybe 3 hours a day and they're done. My grandson, he's all into 3D printing. And I said, I tell you what, I get you a 3D printer. You can have my stuff. We'll get it all set. If you learn how to do CAD, if you learn how to make shapes, if you learn how to do it. And I'm going, man, at 10 years old, you know how to do that stuff? School? Are you kidding me? There's a big, giant awareness and opportunity for the children now. We need to seize it and take advantage of it. But because it is going to work, it is, educating the parents on how much better they can educate their children. What are they doing? Oh, the mandates will be coming. We'll talk about it when we come back with Diane Douglas, former superintendent of public instruction in the whole state of Arizona. Just a little back. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And former Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, had up until 18. This wasn't too long ago. Diane Douglas. Now, the one thing that she's, we got to save the kids. And I'm looking this up. I should be talking. I'm going to start searching our own site because the search engines have, wiped it off the face of the planet. It was a pastor. And it was years ago. And he was saying, we need a movement. Escape from Dunkirk. That is what rings in my head. And the point that he was saying is, like, we rescued the soldiers when the Nazis had, the French and the British soldiers up against the ocean on Dunkirk, northern France. How they got saved, they didn't have a meeting or a stroke dash or orders written of, we'll get to it someday. It's just people. They knew their families, their fathers, their sons. The brothers, get in your freaking rowboat and go over there, however many miles across the channel there, go get them, which is exactly what they did. They just brought their pleasure crap, whatever. You watch the movie, there's a lot more to that. They went and got them. Well, his concept was the children are up against the ocean, and it is in the government schools, the Nazi collectivist, socialist, Marxist, whatever it is that are attacking them. We need to help them escape Dunkirk. So he was encouraging, and one summer years ago, for all of the Christians and the churches and so on. You know, if you don't have a kid or a grandkid, find a neighbor kid. Do whatever you can to help them escape this prison, which they are now actually doing, putting them in there literally a bubble. And not seeing facial expressions for baby. I seen somebody put a mask on a baby, or they're strolling around out in the park with a baby and they got a mask on. That's a freaking child abuse, man. You know, this is. Amen. So I'm going, all right. So this escape from Dunkirk concept, I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, pick a kid and save them. And because if you let them go even a school year, this is jacked up. And I want to make this one point. After 9/11, I was going to Sky Harbor, and I'm leaving, and they had a young couple in their mid-20s with two little kids, like 3 and 4. Oh, we put our shoes in the gray bin from the nice man, the Wanja, an anal probe. They were training not just the kids, but the parents, another generation of papers, please. Oh, here they are. You know, this is, again, get in line, get your shot. This is the beginning of something much, much larger. What's the solution, Diane? What do you think we should do?
Well, and that's the exactly what they're doing with this mask mandate with our children in school, training them from as young as kindergartners that you just comply and do what the government tells you. Again, parents out there, publicschoolexit.com, and we will give you information on how you can homeschool. We have webinars on how parents can deal with. One of the saddest things I read was in my former Peoria school board, parents were going to go down to the school board meeting in mass and demand they reopen the schools. Parents, no. Tell them, keep those schools closed. Give us our money. Let us educate our children as we see fit by the means we deem best. If we don't get our kids out of government schools, we will not only lose yet another generation of children, we will lose our country.
Government doesn't work. I want my money back. Okay, this is one thing that is going on here in New Hampshire. There's an election cycle coming up, and you got the Free State Project, you know, freedom-oriented, libertarian, voluntarist, leave-me-alone-ist types running for office, and they started this, reopen the schools, reopen. Some people are running, reopen the schools, and they're going, keep them closed. We're good. Done.
Yeah.
Next. You know, I think, yeah, I'll decline. So this, is there a movement like that in Arizona at all? Is it starting to get traction? Anybody talking about it?
Well, I'm talking about it to everyone and every person that can listen. And, yes, we're seeing parents, and I can't put a number on it. It would be
more than last year.
At best, certainly more than last year. Parents are starting to create little pod schools. There's an organization called Prenda, and their little, I'd call it a micro school, 8-10 kids. I mean, one of the things parents need to realize is that what a child needs to learn if you homeschool only takes 2 or 3 hours a day. The reason schools are 7 and 8 hours long is because government schools have become an adult work jobs program.
And
so we have long school day and daycare, but shame on parents who use it for that. But we've so increased their taxes that it's virtually impossible for many people not to be a two-income family. So then they have to depend on the schools for daycares. But parents, it's about education. You're better off buying an education for your child someplace privately or a micro school or whatever. And then if you need to make some kind of cooperative within your neighborhood for longer-term care because some of you work, figure out a way to do it. Your child's life and our country is at stake, in my opinion.
Okay, I'm doing this. It's called Call to Dunkirk. Call to Dunkirk. Now, I found it. I had two stories on it that we did this. So I click on them, and I go, okay, open that up, and what do I get? Oh, that site's taken down. It's not allowed, and you're so, and it's gone. I am like, of course it is. You know, this is amazing. Okay, here's one that's open. Christians called to abandon public education. When was this? It was December of 08. So this is right after the Ron Paul Love-Illusion election and Obama gets elected kind of thing. You've heard all about the dispute, silent night, banned at the holiday program, artistic references to the Bible censored, faith-inclusive children's programs facing discrimination. Now some people are fed up with the public school treatment of Christianity and have launched a campaign calling for a rescue of kids from government education programs, a call to Dunkirk. So this is, you know, yeah, it was a church thing, but I mean for so many reasons. This is why we're Christians. You know, but I'm not into, I don't need, like, you know, beating the head of indoctrination of kid. But our four children went to Phoenix Christian Junior Senior High from 7th to 12th grade. Best thing we ever did. You know, because we were much more involved in their education. We got to be, we, you know, yeah, paid, you know. So this is, so it's called ExodusMandate.org. ExodusMandate.org. Terrible crisis has developed in public schools, broken beyond repair. Well, this is the one point that you want to make. It's not broke. It's set up the way they want it.
And I have the privilege of currently working voluntarily with E. Ray Moore, who is the head of who created Exodus Mandate. He was homeschooling his children back in, I think it was the 1970s, when no one was homeschooling their children. And he's created Exodus Mandate. And from that, with the current quote-unquote pandemic crisis, you know, we're working with Public School Exit. And it's, parents, it's publicschoolexit.com. Take a look at it. You've got to get your kids the education they deserve.
At
and
the
we
top,
see
at,
now.
I'm sorry,
I
go
can
ahead.
Say we see now with the programs that are coming in. I just read a thing. I think it's Chandler School District. They're pushing to get a Black Lives Matter program in.
Of course.
Well, they're burning our cities. Why would we want to teach that? And now, since 2 years ago, Judge Tashima's ruling that took, I think it's Arizona Revised Statute 15112, out of statute, he declared it unconstitutional, our schools can now teach children to overthrow the government and to hate each other based on race.
And get an A!
And get an A if they do it, yeah.
The freest no-notice states are Alaska, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, surprisingly Connecticut, Illinois, and New Jersey. These states allow no-notice regulation. 16...
I can't believe, I'm from New Jersey. I can't believe, I read that last night and I couldn't believe it. It's like New Jersey is the freest, one of the freest states for homeschooling.
You know, this is what I find out. Well, you know, think about it. Indiana, you know, Missouri, Michigan, you know, Illinois. The reason is I've been covering this for a long time. It's because that's where they pissed off the wrong parents. You know, something happened. They did something, and they went, oh, heck no. 16 states have low, California, Nevada, Arizona, Utah, New Mexico. 18 have moderate, blah, blah, blah. The most restrictive are, here it comes, Massachusetts, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Now, there's a family in Massachusetts. That's a great story. I won't take up the time. But I tell you, this is going to be, if not the main issue, one of the definite main issues. And we're going to be calling on you to help us with this. And if you got something that we can do, and the Love Bus can come in and kind of, you know, it's going to be married with this vaccination and mask and bubble acrylic and whatever the hell. We get there around after Thanksgiving. You're going to be, you know, we're going to be your new best friends. You know what I mean?
Huh? Yeah. Huh? I look forward on working with anyone that will help me save children from what they're facing.
Boom! Front of the line! Woo-hoo! We're going, Donna and I are going to do some butt whipping. They're already starting in Arizona. We're talking to a lot of people that are right along this line. I'm sure they're listening. So, Arizona, I'm telling you, you're going to piss me off. That'll be all right. You know, you fix it. But you're going to fix it before I get there. You know it. Because I'm going to go, you want to play? We're going to play with Diane Douglas. We'll be right back. No, we won't.